You know, I was going to go through Psalms tonight, and I've been reading. I told y'all last, maybe it was Wednesday, I told y'all about the 30-day shred of going through the Bible in 30 days and just reading and reading. And honestly, I mean, I can't read that fast, but just I'd have to listen to it and listen to it while I'm doing other things and all that stuff. But I've really been going through it. I'm on day four, and I told you guys, if y'all are ambitious and want to try it, 30 days it's a lot. I don't know that you're going to learn a whole lot. You're just going to plow through things. But there are some things I'm seeing, and you get a bigger picture of what's going on. And I say all that to say this. There's a few things in reading through the Bible at that rate. I see things I hadn't seen before. And so I thought about, okay, we can do Psalms. And this Psalm that we're on, Psalm 68, is kind of a tough one. It's a long one. And it's kind of just a history and some future prophecy. And I don't say just, but history of God's work with Israel and all that. And I wasn't getting a whole lot out of it in Psalm 68. But there was something in Numbers that I saw just reading through my Bible. So I think what I'll do tonight, we'll go to Numbers. And I want to show you something in Numbers. It's a familiar verse, but the context that it shows up in is probably lost, because I think, like that with a lot of verses, people pick out verses and they lose their context, and folks grab onto things that they like about a verse and then just lose the context of it. So let's do this. Tonight we'll look in Numbers, and it probably won't be very long because literally I have zero notes on this, so I'm just going to go through it the way I kind of got it in reading through the Bible, and give you something, I guess, from my devotional time, so to speak. So Numbers chapter, let's see, 32 is where we'll be. And we'll put this psalm in our back pocket and wait till next week for it. Numbers 32. And let's pray. I know there's several folks next door, but I think they're going to be there for a little while, sounds like. So we'll go ahead and start. But let's pray. Father, thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for justification, for forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray that this evening that we could get from your words what we need to get, and maybe learn a little bit more about some of these familiar verses that we've heard but don't know why or where they show up, why they show up the way they do. And Lord, I pray we get the application we need to get. And so I really pray that you'd help us tonight and feed your flock tonight. Help those that are here get what they need. And we're looking for you to give us something, because we need it from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Numbers chapter 32. In the book of Numbers, so the Israelites are inheriting. They're getting ready to go into their inheritance. They're getting ready to go to the promised land and divide up the promised land. And there is these two tribes, Reuben and Gad, that have lots of cattle. And they find some good land before they actually get into the promised land. They find some good land. And they want to just stop where they're at because, you know, it's good for the cattle we got, and we would rather just stay where we are. And that's kind of the thought. The familiar verse in Numbers 32 that you probably heard a lot is in verse 23. Numbers 32:23. It says, "But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." You probably heard that verse, and but I want to give you the context in which it shows up, because that's, I think, helpful in a lot of cases to organize the thoughts about why God says what he does. But at the beginning of Numbers chapter 32, verse 1, let's start reading. And I'm just going to kind of give you a commentary and sort of some devotional stuff that, I don't know, that I got out of reading this. Numbers 32:1 says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle. Children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, and Dibon, and Jazer, and Nimrah, and Heshbon, and Eliah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Now, that's the significance of this. The reason they're asking about this is because the plan is everybody in Israel's going over Jordan, and we're all going into the promised land. And Reuben and Gad find some land that's good for cattle, and they have a lot of cattle. And it happens to be on the other side of Jordan. And so the reason they bring this up is because they're kind of like saying, we're going to stop here, and you guys go on and keep fighting your battles further down the road, but we're going to stop here, or we'd like to stop here and just kind of land here. And so let's keep reading. I didn't explain what's going on. I think you're getting the idea, though. Verse 6, "And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here?" So here's what they said. "We would like to have this land here, and you guys go ahead and go on and fight what you need to fight. We'd like to just stay here." Now, that doesn't sound very, very fair, does it? You guys go ahead, and y'all, you know, we've come this far, and the Lord's cleared the way this far. We like what we got here, but y'all go ahead and y'all keep fighting, and we'll just stay back here. Now watch what Moses says to him. Verse 7, "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land." So he's likening this whole scenario to when the spies came back and God had promised the land, and then the 12 spies come back and 10 of them say, "Well, we can't go in there." And what happens is they just discouraged everybody from the work of the Lord. Now here's an application to that. I know I'm talking to the Sunday night folks, and but you look around Sunday nights and you see how many folks are here. You see what you're looking at here, and sometimes when folks aren't willing to, and I just use this as an example because you can look around, and I think everyone in the church looks around and kind of knows there's some folks that do work, and then other folks who kind of sit back and watch others do work, and what it does to people, because we're all people. What it does to people, just like Moses says, is it's discouraging. It's discouraging to watch someone else fight battles, or for people to fight battles while the other folks kind of sit back and say, we'll just take what we got here. We're satisfied. And so this is what Moses is saying. You guys who are not willing to participate in the battle, not only are you complacent in what you're doing, but you're a discouragement to the rest of the folks. And that's what Moses says. And I don't mean for this to be a negative, a bad thing, but I want you to understand this is the context in which this "be sure your sin will find you out" shows up. That's the whole context of this thing. All right, so he says in verse 8, "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshel and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them." Now, I mean, you can say, hey, you just need to be more spiritual and just, you know, suck it up and do it. But the reality is, people, we're just people. People get discouraged about stuff. People get discouraged about serving the Lord. Maybe you've got discouraged about serving the Lord. Where you were trying, I mean, you wanted to do everything you could for the Lord, and then pretty soon, I just had a conversation with somebody the other day. And here's the thing that was discouraging that they were relaying to me. It wasn't a big thing that happened. It was like these little things that they kept focusing on these little things. And this thing turned into this thing and this thing and this thing. But they wouldn't look at the victories, but when all you're looking at is the defeats, or that can be discouraging. And it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it just takes a bunch of little things, and you kind of get overwhelmed with all the little stuff, and you just kind of just sink. Well, the same thing happens when people who are willing to sit down in somewhere and say, yeah, you guys go to battle. We'll go ahead and sit back here, and we'll just keep this place warm for you. You know what that is? That's just discouragement. And so here's what Moses, he chastises Reuben and Gad. Yeah, they ask, they say, can we just keep our cattle here? And he says, why are you going to do this to the rest of the group? Why are you going to cause the rest of the folks to be discouraged? You're going to sit back and you're willing to let them fight your battles. So here's what he says. And again, I say this to show you the context of, be sure your sin will find you out, because that's where this shows up. All right, so Moses starts to explain it. Numbers 32, verse 9, "For when they went up unto the valley of Eshel and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." So there's two men that followed the Lord, and a bunch of folks that weren't interested in following the Lord. Or they were interested to follow him to a certain point, and then they'd kind of cut out and, you know, we've come as far as we want to go with the Lord. We're kind of done. We've done what we feel is our responsibility to the Lord. So we're done, and we'll let you guys go ahead and go forward with it. So that's Moses chastening them for it. And he uses, of course, Joshua and Caleb as examples of men who followed the Lord. But notice the Lord's angry with them too. Verse 13. "Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." Moses is just recounting this. He's reminding them of how the Lord handled the situation before, when people were unwilling to participate in the promise and in the inheritance. Verse 14, "And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead." So you guys have now showed up in your father's stead. Now you're saying the same things. "Behold, you're risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all his people." Verse 16, "And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. So here's what they said. All right, after Moses contends with them about this, they say, well, this is what we'll do. The men, we will go up with the company of Israel and we will help them fight. And we won't come back to our inheritance until the battle and the wars are done. And that way we're participating in the whole thing, and we're not just kind of cutting out at the beginning here. We'll participate with all the rest of the tribes in the upcoming warfare. And once it's all done in the land there, then we'll come back to our inheritance. And so Moses is going to agree. He says, all right, well, if you'll do that, then here's what he says, verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord. So if you guys are willing to do that, he says, all right, then that removes the guilt from you. If you're willing to participate in the warfare that's coming up, that's going to be it's going to be basically the lot of Israel to fight these battles. If you're willing to participate in this, then you'll be cleared of this guilt. So if you're going to participate, okay, that's good. Then you'll be cleared of that. And verse 22, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. So you got the idea. All right, if you guys want this land, you can have the land, but you're going to have to keep going with us to fight. Then after the battles are over, then you can come back and inherit the land. However, verse 23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's where that shows up. So be sure your sin will find you out. So here's what he says. Look in verse 24. Build you cities for your little ones, folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. And all that and the rest of it, and we won't read the rest of the chapter. So I said all that to say, that's the context of a verse that, you know, sometimes you pull out of the Bible, you pull the verses out, and they make good preaching or whatever, they sound good. So the be sure your sin will find you out is in context with a group of tribes, couple tribes, Reuben and Gad, who said, we want to inherit land on this side of Jordan because it's good for cattle. We don't want to keep going with the rest of the group. And then Moses responds with, you're going to act like the rest of the guys that died in the wilderness, who didn't want to participate in the promise, who God let be consumed in the wilderness? And then Reuben and Gad came back and said, well, we'll participate in the warfare, and after the wars are done, then we'll come back and inherit the land. To which Moses says, okay, if you'll do that, then you'll be guiltless. But if you aren't willing to do that, be sure your sin will find you out. Meaning you have left the rest of the company, the rest of the children of Israel. It kind of abandoned them because you were satisfied where you were. And you just kind of let them go. And so, Lord says through Moses, if this is what you're going to do, be sure this thing is going to come back and haunt you. If you believe you've come as far as you want to go with the Lord, and maybe you had good intentions. Yeah, we want to keep going with the Lord, and we want to do it. And then, you know, the good intentions will last a little while, but I mean, they're not going to last forever. And so they might have had good intentions, and I won't go through what happens later on. There's a lot to all that stuff. But anyway, the point of this was show you where this thing fits in context, and there's a discouragement with the children of Israel there, and when people, and I just say this to be introspective here. I mean, I know you guys, like I said, y'all are Sunday night and all that stuff, but we've all got this in us, and so your lack of motivation to serve God is a discouragement to other people. Your lack of desire to serve God will be a discouragement to other people. And it's you can say, well, people ought to just need to suck it up and serve God. Yeah, they'll have responsibilities, but we're all people, and we respond to other people. And When some folks are trying to do some things, like here's the children of Israel, they're headed into inherit the land, and all of a sudden Reuben and Gad decide, we're going to stop here. We like what we're doing here. And then the rest of the children of Israel look around and say, I mean, there's still work to do. Why are you stopping? Well, we want to stop because we think we've gone as far with the Lord as we want to go. We're moved as far as we want to go, and we're kind of done where we're at. Okay, so you want us to keep fighting the battles, and you're just going to sit here? Well, I mean, we don't have to do it that way. I mean, we'll go with you, and we'll fight your battles and help you and all that stuff. And that's their intention, at least at the outset. After they get chided by Moses to say, look, if you guys do this, It's not only a discouragement to the people, but apparently it's a sin against the Lord to do it this way. You're disregarding the inheritance God's given. Here's another point in all this. Your Christianity, my Christianity, it's not just about you and what you feel between you and God. Sometimes I imagine and. To make some more application. I imagine we got a lot of parents in here. I imagine a lot of times you've done for your kids things you just didn't feel like doing, but you knew you need to do them. And you know you need to do this thing, and you don't really feel like doing it. I mean, how many of you you just You love your job, and you just can't wait to get to work tomorrow morning. I mean, you know what you love? You love the paycheck from the job. Because that's why you work, and that's not bad. It's good to work and make a paycheck. But you know why you do that? You do that because you know you have to do it. It just has to be done. So, for some reason, though, that doesn't transfer over into your spiritual life. It's like, I know this needs to be done, but I'm pretty good where I'm at. Well, that's Reuben and Gad. They're pretty good where we're at. Then Moses has to get on to them. Well, you're going to discourage the rest of the group. You're going to sin against God. And Reuben and Gad say, well, we'll go with you, and we'll fight your battles and help you. And then after all that's done, then we'll come back and inherit the land. How's that sound? Moses says, okay, that's good if you'll do that. But if you won't do that, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your lack of motivation to serve God and your inheritance is going to come back and haunt you. That's what he's saying to Israel. Be sure this, whatever you need to find motivation or whatever it is, Here's one, another thought in all this. People will read a clear instruction from God in the Bible and then say something like, yeah, I just don't have a conviction about that. You know what you don't need when you have clear instructions? You don't need a conviction because you have a clear instruction. I don't need to feel a certain way about what I'm about to do if the Lord said, just do that. I don't need to have a conviction about it. I just need to obey God. Reuben, Gad, well, we feel like we've come far enough. That doesn't matter if you feel like you've come far enough. Here's the consequences to you feeling like you've come far enough. You're going to discourage these folks and your sin's going to come back and haunt you and God will probably just leave you out here to die like he did with those in the wilderness. So all of those things, there's so many lessons with Israel going through this stuff. But one of the things I just thought it was interesting to take, here's a verse that you probably heard 100 times, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, this is where it shows up. And it shows up with folks who have been satisfied with their service to the Lord and they're kind of done. And they say, we've come as far as we want to go. And Moses says, well, be sure your sin will find you out. Meaning, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're done. You're not done. It doesn't matter if you feel like this is the place where, you know, Reuben and Gad, it's good for our cattle. We're gonna stick around here. Okay, it doesn't matter what you feel like. You need to go with the group. You got a whole bunch of other folks who are watching and are going to get discouraged if you decide to bow out. So that's the context of this, and it's very instructive, but that's the context of this. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's Moses, it's really the Lord speaking through Moses, addressing two tribes, Reuben and Gad, who have come as far as they want to go with the inheritance. They don't want to go anymore. And now he's got to deal with this situation of these two groups of Israelites that have said, yeah, we're as far as we want to go. We don't want to go over Jordan. And so now he's got to deal with all that kind of stuff. And so I say that just to give you the context to it, but it's very instructive because what it shows, I think, for all of us as an application is that there are some things that you may feel that may feel convenient or I feel like I should do this I don't feel like I should do it. I just feel like this is all I want to do. I've done as much as I want to do. Now I'll be, what do you say? Okay, you guys do the work and I'll be your moral support. The church doesn't need moral supporters. You understand? It doesn't need people who aren't willing to participate in the battle. And what happens is that mentality becomes a cancer. It becomes a discouragement. That's what happens with the Israelites here. They just, before it becomes a problem, Moses has to address this thing because these guys have brought it up and now he's got to address it. And so this is the two options. You can either go fight like you were supposed to do in the beginning, which was the whole, you're supposed to do this from the beginning. You're supposed to go up with the group and be with the group. Or if you choose not to, know this, you're discouraged the group, you're discouraged the people, and your sin will find you out. The unwillingness to serve God the way he wants you to serve him is, it's not an acceptable thing to say, yeah, I've come as far as I want to go. Well, it's not about you and your assessment of your spiritual life. It's about what the Lord said and how he wants to use you. And I know we get this idea in our Christianity. We got, you know, it's kind of us and the Lord and nobody else, and we're the exception to every rule. And like I said the other day, there may be some exceptions, but I guarantee you, you're not one of them. I'm not one of them. Be sure your sin will find you out.